Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So as we all know, everybody's been wondering, everybody wants to know. This is what makes people tune in. When the market is crashing, everybody is wondering what's making the market crash. What should I buy? What should I do? All the other great stuff. If you're catching this live, don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. Tell me where you're from. If you are catching this live, if you are catching the playback, give it a thumbs up anyway, either way. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a pretty good episode. But we have to look at what's going on in the market, what's causing the market to crash, and what do I think about it? Right? What should I buy? What should I look at? Right? So we're going to talk about all that good stuff today. But first, let me get in here and let you know, I want everybody to come in and say hello and where you're from if you are catching it live. If you are catching the playback, that's fine. Thank you for tuning in yourself. But to give you guys and girls a quick rundown, the Dow Jones dropped 0.56% today, 159 points. The S&P 500 dropped 0.81%, and the NASDAQ got hit the hardest. It dropped 1.27% today. So people are now wondering, Prince, what does this mean? You know, what does this mean with the market? What's going on? NASDAQ got hit the hardest. You know, the NASDAQ was the one roaring the most. That's heavy in technology. So we all know that Apple and Tesla split on Monday. And since the Apple and Tesla split, we've seen the stock have a nice little run, and all of a sudden, we're seeing this massive drawback. Everybody's wondering what's going on. Now, for the people out there that are catching this live, let me first say hello to everybody. We got the first question coming in. Woke One says, hey, Prince, what's going on, Woke One? What's a good inverse ETF for real estate? Let me think about that one. I have to ask you guys. I forgot about what was the I can't remember off the top of my head. We'll go through that one later on. I've said it a million times on the show. I was riding for a while. It might come back to my head, but I can't think of it right now. And a reverse ETF, this is when real estate goes down, this goes up. So someone's looking for an ETF that's going to do the opposite of going down, right? So I don't know that off the top of my head. I have to look that one up. So stay tuned. We may better get into that later on in the show. Dragon, what's going on? He said, let's go. Okay, cool. Brandon, what's going on, Bradford? What's going on, Bradford? Out here in Denver, Colorado. Oh, we got somebody from Atlanta. We have somebody else from, you know, Texas. Nice seeing you tuning in. St. Petersburg, Florida. We got Texas in the house. What's going on, PD Young? Somebody says, hey, how you doing? From VA. All right, Miss White. Eugenia White, okay. We got Kathy from Alabama all the way. First thing I heard, somebody told me, a good friend of mine from Alabama, he was telling me the other day about a white barbecue sauce. He said it's very popular in Alabama. I never heard of a white barbecue sauce, but I guess it's a thing in Alabama. Here we go here. Miss Beverly from St. Louis. How you doing, Miss Beverly? Miss Vida, she didn't say anything. I didn't see anything there. King Carter, NYC, New York City is in the building. Godfather's Pizza. That's some great New York pizza. Clarence Duncan, he said, yo, let's go. Okay, we got you. Clarence, that's my guy right there. He said, how goes it? What's going on? I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Hey, Prince, hope all is well. Pennsylvania is in the house. It's MK Direct. We got a good bit of people in here. We have, okay, hold on here. I'm kind of losing track here. Miss Furman, how you doing? From South Carolina, she says, hello, how you doing, Miss Furman? Then, okay, Jamish White, what's going on? How you doing? He's out there in Hawaii. He said, yeah, bro, this is crazy. Yeah, we're going to look at that. We're going to talk about it. Y'all calm down. What's up, Princeton? Thank you for who you said buy a car a couple months ago. Thank you to who said to buy a car. Oh, a couple months ago. Okay. Thank you. Pensacola's in the house. DJ Mixon. Okay, down there in Florida. Montrell Weaver, the DMV, is in the building. He's in the country of North Carolina. Okay. The country of Roper, North Carolina. Never heard of that place, but okay, nice. LK Raw. He said, I took a beating this week in the market, took profits from my option plays, and purchased stocks. No problem. Warren, I should have done that. That's not a bad thing. You know, I have some call options on Apple that's, you know, but they're not until June of next year. You know, it was doing wonderful. I was up like 200-300%. And then all of a sudden, you know, probably up like 100%, something like that. But I'm okay. Wisconsin is in the house. Indianapolis in the house. Georgia, okay. Houston, Miss Ebony Love, Houston's in the house. He said, V-Town, Bad Austin. Bad Austin's in the house, Bad Austin, Georgia. Antonio, what's going on? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, let me be your sounding board. I'm going to be the voice that I wish I've always heard and always seen. I'm going to tell you guys and girls, when you have financial literacy and financial education, ladies and gentlemen, when you're seeing this come, even as much as I know today, and I still have a lot to learn, I don't know everything, I even get worried in times like this. But what I want to tell you guys, I want to remind you guys, I want to type this in. I want to remind you guys and girls of this. I'm going to pop it up on the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, the bull will always win. In the long term, I don't know what's going on my, let's see what we got here. King Carter said, S Dow. Yeah, S Dow is when the Dow Jones is going down. Orlando. Okay, Miss KP is from Orlando, Florida. Thank you guys and girls for checking in live. You're going to have a very good episode today. So I want to let you guys and girls know, in the meantime, while you are an investor, the bear will win the battle. The bear will show its face. The bear will come out. Prince, what do you mean by the bear? A down market, a downtime will come out and show its face, right? But we all must keep in mind that in the long run, the bull will always win. The bull will always win in the long run. What is the bull, Prince? That's the up market. You will have downtimes in the economy. And I want to be you guys and girls sounding board. The economy will always move in cycles. Learn and know the cycles. You will have a trough, which is the bottom. You will have an expansion, which is when things are going up. You know, just last month, everybody was like Tesla, 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 Apple, Apple, Apple. Everybody thought they were geniuses, right? Uber even started to make a comeback. Everybody was feeling good. Everybody was feeling good about Apple and Google and Facebook and all these companies. Right then, all of a sudden, it turns into doomsday within the last 2-3 days. Ladies and gentlemen, this will always happen. Remember, there's a trough, downturn. Then there will be an expansion. Then there will be a peak. Then there will be a retraction or a recession, and we'll go back into a trough. Become familiar with the four cycles of the economy. Prince, why is this so important? In 2008, when I saw the market crash for the first time ever, I thought it was the end of the world. I did not know the business cycle. I didn't know what a trough, an expansion, a peak, a retraction was. I did not know what that was, ladies and gentlemen. With me, I started to think to myself, oh, my God, you know, the world is ending. We're in Afghanistan, in Iraq. I was in Iraq at the time. We was fighting in Afghanistan. We was fighting in Iraq. We was going through a presidential election when Obama was coming in office. Bush was going out. We also was going with Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy, Washington Mutual, Citibank. All of these big banks in the world was just crashing in the world. I thought the world was coming to an end. I was not financially literate. I did not have financial education. I thought to myself, man, I am an idiot. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. Oh, my God. You know, take all your money out and hide it, right? Not realizing this is the economical cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, inform yourself the economical cycle. When you look at 2008, when you look at 2008, well, we had a market crash in March. Remember when March happened? Everybody tuned in and said, Prince, oh, my God, should I sell that Disney? Prince, should I sell that Netflix? Prince, should I get rid of Facebook? Prince, should I get rid of Apple? Everybody was thinking about getting rid of everything. Everybody was running. And I'm telling you this because investors always have amnesia, right? All the people that was buying Tesla and Apple last week, now they're wondering what's going on. People that were saying Tesla was the new company of the future are now wondering, well, how does Tesla make money? Tesla is not sustainable. What happened within a week time frame? What happened to all the bulls? Ladies and gentlemen, as you are investing, there will be bear times. There will be bad times. Guess what? Guess what is going to happen in Denver, Colorado? It will snow. It will rain. Same thing in investing happened, right? And when it rains, guess what? I grab a little umbrella. It doesn't stop my day. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're investing for the long term, I want you to hear me loud and clear. If you're investing for the long term, the bull will always win. Keep that in mind. Yes. Now, nobody started thinking about inverse ETFs. The first question I got from Wolf One was, Prince, what is an inverse ETF for real estate? I've placed out that real estate ETF plenty of times. I've had it a couple of times myself, right? Nobody think about inverse ETFs until the market crashes. Now everybody wants to know, what is inverse? How can I make money from the Dow dropping, from the S&P 500 dropping, and the NASDAQ dropping? Yes, you're going to make a little money. Yes, the bear is going to scare some people, but the bull will always win. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing I want you guys and girls to think of, who got hit the worst? Who got hit the worst during this downturn? Here we go. I'm going to type it in right here. I'm going to tell you right here. I want you guys and girls to remember this so you can come back on this episode. Tech stocks got hit the worst. Technology stocks, Apple, Tesla, they got hit the worst. When a down economy comes, always find out who got hit the worst and why. Who got hit the worst and why? Also, when you look at who got hit the worst this time around, it was the NASDAQ. What is the NASDAQ full of? Technology companies. We all know, ladies and gentlemen, if I had to bet on anybody to carry us for the rest of this year, it's going to be technology companies. What's going to happen in October with Apple? They have a new iPhone coming out. iPhone 12 probably is going to come out later on this year. Right in time for the holiday season. The best and the biggest spending time of the season. Do you think people will be lined up outside for Black Friday? Or do you think they will be online for Cyber Monday? When you think about all this advertising dollars, when we get ready to roll into the advertising season, when everybody gets to run their ads, where they're going to run their ads? Right there on Facebook and Google. All those advertising dollars are going to pour straight into technology. Also, when people get ready to buy this year, guess where they're going to buy from? Guess who poised to receive the biggest holiday season ever? It's going to be Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's going to be sitting at home, just like what you're doing right now. You're probably catching me live, or you may be catching me on a playback. You may be listening to me on a podcast. And guess what? You're going to be sitting right in your house, right here in your jogging pants, or right in your t-shirt or whatever, and you're going to be ordering up from Amazon. Why would I go outside and stand in line, this big long line, and fight these lines for the holiday season? People are still going to tear down the holiday season. In the holiday season, who's poised to win this holiday season? Technology stocks. Things like Apple, Facebook, all the companies are going to put their money into technology companies to win. So when you look at winning right now, tech is going to win. Who has been the strongest index all year long? Technology. Tech stocks have been the winner all year long. And now when you look at who's winning right now, look at the technology stocks. They're the ones that's carrying everybody, been carrying the whole market all year long. So technology stocks, in my belief, my personal opinion, technology stocks will win, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not get caught up with the trees and forget to see the bigger picture of the forest. When you're looking at these great companies, you got to think about it. It's just not technology. Everybody is down. S&P 500 is down. All stocks are down pretty much, right? Everybody is down. That's always a telltale sign. When there's blood in the street, it's time to buy. Let me see what you guys and girls are saying in the comment section. Let's see what you guys are saying. Okay, he said, King Carter said he brought calls on SDAO. May not be bad in the short term, but in the long run, you know them calls on the SDAO are probably going to be a loser. I'm going to go with calls on the NASDAQ. Calls on the NASDAQ, leverage bullish ETFs on the NASDAQ. QQQ. KP's from Atlanta, I think I already acknowledged her. They say it's going to keep going up and down like this and then completely crash in December before Christmas. Let me tell you something, Dragon. Every time you get in the financial media, you're always going to hear when the market is going down, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, everybody's going to speak bad. All the pessimistic people are going to come out. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not worried about what's happening in December. I'm worried about what's going to happen in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, what has happened financially to Apple and Tesla? What has happened financially to Facebook? Right? Nothing has happened financially. I'm looking at the financial fundamentals of a company, right? Excuse me, I got the hiccups here going on a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, when there's downtimes like this, you're right. Maybe it's going to keep going up and down. When it's going down, this is when you execute your watch list. Let me get into the watch list a little bit later. Now it's definitely time to buy and sell when it goes back up. That's true. Mike, what's going on out there in Toronto? Good evening, Prince. Karen says, buy the dip. You're all right, buy the dip. Dragon, that's true. He said, glad I sold all my airline stocks. Airline has been doing pretty good. He said, yes, tech companies. He said, buy Smith & Wesson. That's not a bad one. I've always been hearing about Smith & Wesson. He says, buy Smith & Wesson. They knocked the cover off the ball in earnings. They knocked the cover off the ball in earnings. Okay. 120% increase year-to-year sales, record gun sales numbers. They are down only because of the market conditions. You're right. I believe, think about it. These are great companies. CrowdStrike just had great earnings and the stock traded down. That's a buying opportunity. When you have great earnings and the stock carries down, that's a buying opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Right here it says, I brought Amazon on sale today too. Very smart. Don't buy calls when VIX is up 30%, tell them Prince. Yes, she's talking about VIX. This is the volatility index she's speaking about. I don't know why. Y'all give me 1 second here. Let me fix my stream. Let me fix this thing here for a second. All right, should be better. All right. So, yes, they say don't buy call options when the VIX is up 30%. Yes, right now, you got to be very careful of what you're doing right now. Some people are trying to take advantage of everything, which is fine, which you're supposed to do. But be careful. He said, Prince, I'm watching Doc, Navita. Steven Johnson, what's going on? Very smart. So what's the deal with Uber? Should I ride or jump off? I'm riding with Uber right now. This is, all right, let me tell you why I'm riding with Uber. Uber situation right now, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to be going to, on November 4th, during the election, they're going to put on a big thing to see if they're going to be, 1 second, are the drivers of Uber going to become independent contractors or are they going to become workers? Are they going to become workers? If they become workers, that's very bad for California, for Uber and Lyft. They're planning on leaving Uber and Lyft. That's very bad. The stock will trade down. The reason why that'd be very bad for the company, because that ruins the business model of Uber, right? Now, the thing about it is, Prince, why are you going to ride with Uber? I'm going to give Uber a try because of the market cap. Uber's a very, very, very big company, right? Very big company. Why does that mean anything? Uber's a very big company, and they're going to figure something out. I already heard Uber them talking about, I heard some rumblings, don't quote me on this, but they have already been talking about, instead of being an independent contractor for Uber, you're going to be a franchise owner if you drive for Uber. So I'm already hearing things of ways they're talking about getting, you know, fixing things with Uber. So the company is a $30 billion company. Market cap wise, they're going to figure something out. That's why market cap is so important. If this was a smaller company, they'll probably crumble up. And if it was a $100,000 company, they'll probably just leave, right? So I'm going to give it a little ride. And by November 4th, that would be this is a unprofitable company, very risky. But due to its size and nature, they're going to figure something out. If I had a $30 billion company and I had to deal with Uber and Lyft was doing, I would be running campaign ads. I would be talking to drivers. I would be figuring something out. I would definitely figure something out. I would hire a lot of big brains. He said, true, long term, 15 to 20 years. 15 to 20 years, you're looking in the long term. Who cares what's happening this Christmas, right? Just remember March. Remember all the people in March who sold their stocks. Everybody thought the world was going to end in March. People thought the world was going to end in 2008. People thought the world was going to end in 2000. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you guys what I wish I had someone tell me. That's why I haven't been live in a while, in a few days. But I wanted to come live today because I know a lot of people are logging in. They're seeing their portfolio. They're biting their nails. They're becoming scared of what's going on or whatnot. Look at the fundamentals of companies. When I see the whole market go down, that's a clear indicator to buy. Take a prime example today. When I go live, when the stock market crashes, so many people tune in when the market is down. When the market is up, nobody cares. When the market is down, everybody's tuning in to sell. This is not the time to be selling. This is the time to be executing your watch list. Let me tell you guys and girls something, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you guys and girls something every day. You guys and girls, you don't want to be behind the ball. Let me tell you what you should be executing right now. And I tell people this all the time. This is the time to be executing your watch list. When you're doing the fundamentals, when you're reading companies, you're reading that cash flow statement, you're reading that balance sheet, you're reading the income statement, you're watching the earnings calls, you're listening to the earnings calls, you're learning the fundamentals of the company, you add that company to your watch list. It's just like putting something on layaway. That's your watch list. You know what? I would love to have Google. I would love to have Facebook. If I had all the money in the world, what would I buy? What do I know? First, you start off with what you know. What do I know? I know what I've heard of Google, Facebook, Amazon, Walmart. I heard these companies, Home Depot, Coca-Cola. Now that I've heard these companies, I make that list. Now I go look into the finances of those companies. I look into the finances. First, you can start off sometimes. You know what? I know technology very well. I know healthcare very well. I know healthcare very well, ladies and gentlemen. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take healthcare. I'm going to write down my companies in healthcare. Once I got my company written down in healthcare, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the companies in healthcare, creating your watch list. You're not buying right now. You're creating your watch list. Now it's the time to be executing off of that watch list. Maybe you're doubling up on stocks you already own. You know what? Let me buy one or two shares of stocks I already own. Let me go ahead and execute off my watch list. So many people are stranding around now. What should I buy? This is the time you should be executing off your watch list, right? Like Peter Lynch said, the best stock to buy is a stock you already own. Things that's already in your portfolio that's already down, buy a little bit more. When I see the whole market down for no reason, nobody can seem to explain, this is when you start to buy. Yes, we know we're in the middle of a pandemic. Yes, we know we're in the middle of an election. Yes, we know companies are hurting. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you how to look at economical indicators. I know what it feels like. I'm going to show you guys and girls how to look at economic indicators. What is employment? What is real estate doing? Are people filing for unemployment? Are people unemployed? What are companies doing? What are companies' earnings look like? Because I know what it feels like. It feels like a lot of people out of work. I know what it feels like. But you got to look at economical data to become a better investor. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the real estate market today. We're going to look at unemployment. This is the time to be executed off of your watch list. Build your watch list. Start with what you know. Once you start with what you know, you write them all down. You look at the finances of the companies. Once you look at the finances of the company, you build a watch list. Just on your phone, you can build a watch list via Yahoo, CNBC, all these companies. Once you have a watch list, times like today is when you're executing off of your watch list. So I got to ask you, what's on your watch list? What would you buy every single day if you had? The market goes down on Monday, you're executing off your watch list. So many people right now stranding around on what to buy. So many people wondering, Prince, they say the world is coming to an end. They said this. Yeah, a lot of people can say a lot of things, right? So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at economical indicators. And we're always going to keep in mind the bull will always win in the long run, right? So let me take some of you guys and girls' comments of what you're saying before I go into the next topic. Let me take this off so I know my breakpoint. So next up, we're going to go into real estate. All right, here we go. All right. How you doing, Miss Jacqueline? Congratulations on your book as well. How you doing, Miss Jacqueline? I think it's a coding book. I think it's for kids. Congratulations to you. She's always supported me throughout the years. I'm glad to never met you in person, but I'm glad to see you doing well for yourself. She says, looking at the financial fundamentals of a company, 95% of people that buy stocks, of everyday people that buy stocks, don't know what fundamentals are. They don't even know what the finances of a company look like. So I'm going to make you a better investor. I'm going to teach you how to go to the SEC.gov. You always know what I always talk about here. Go to the investor relations of a company. Look at the finances. Look at the cash flow statement, the balance sheet, and the income statement. The cash flow statement tells you how much money is coming in and out the company. How much money, how is the company financed? The cash flow statement is broken down to three sections. You got the investor section, you got the finance section, and what's the other section? Investing, finance, I can't think of the other one off the top of my head right now. But you have three sections, pretty much is telling you how is the company financing, operating. You got operating, investing, and financing. So the operating is telling you how much money is coming in and out of operating. Right at the top of that, you know, when this company, yes, it's in business, but is it making a profit or loss? What is it netting? Where's the money going? Investing, how much money of this company are they buying back their own stock? Are they buying back their own shares? Under the financing part, are they is this company's finances, are the companies financing by accumulating more debt? What is it doing, right? Then you look at the balance sheet, that tells you how much money is in the bank. How many assets? How many liabilities? What is the net worth of this company? You know, now you're going to see, now you get to go to the income statement. How much money is coming in? How much money is going out? Those are the things that's the most important things that 95% of the people that you see talk about stocks. They talk about what's going up. The fundamentals tell you what to buy. The technicals tell you when to buy. The fundamentals tell you what to buy. The technicals tell you when to buy. Technical is when you're looking at the charts. Fundamental is when you're looking at the raw data. At the end of the day, I don't care what unemployment is. Is this company making money? Is it making more and more and more money? Or is it losing more and more and more money? What's making it go up, right? Big Al, what's going on? He said, Big Dog, my guy, the Prince of Stocks. First time hearing the Prince of Stocks. But yeah, definitely. Thanks for tuning in, Al. He said, yes, I sold when the Dow went down 500 points today. See, buying a call on the S-Dow, that's great for short-term moves. Betting against the market is great for short-term if you can time the market properly. But we all know the market will rebound, right? It will rebound. It will come back. History has shown that. That's not what Prince is saying. You always see when people talk about a V-shaped recovery. A V-shaped recovery is when the market goes down and comes back up. Look at the 2008 market. Look at 2000. Look at the Black Monday that happened in 87. Go back to when we was on the gold standard. We got the gold standard. Look at the great market crash of 1929, the worst one we ever had. So all the historical market crashes where we were in wars, you know, we faced wars. We faced gold standard, getting off of the gold standard. We faced Democrats. We've had a Democratic president. We had a Republican president. We've had different World War One, World War II, Vietnam War. 9/11. Look at all these astronomical things that has happened to the U.S. economy, and it has always rebounded back higher. You may already know this, but sometimes in times like this, you need to hear this. That's why I would like when you guys and girls tune in and hear this stuff, right? Ruby says, hi. How you doing, Miss Ruby? Peter Young said, Uber, 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 I'll ride it all the way. Yes, Uber, by being a big company, I think they're going to figure it out. They're the big boys on the block. We're going to see. How are they going to figure it out? Karen said, how would the working of Uber franchise? I like that. So right now, I've heard they're exploring that option that, hey, if we win in California, guess what? We're business as usual. But if they lose California, I heard they're going to say, hey, guess what? You're not an Uber driver. You are a franchise owner of Uber, just like McDonald's is a franchise owner, just like Taco Bell is a franchise, right? And some people who own franchises, a lot of them are franchise owners. I am now a franchise owner of Uber. This is when you're going through a new company on a new sector, they always are going to experience hard times, right? Just like Facebook experienced very hard times, growing pains. It's a new sector. It's a new industry. It's going to have hard things to get through, right? So the bigger the company, the more likely they're going to get through the problem. Because the bigger the company, the more backing that it has, the more people that's behind it, the more they have that stake to lose. A $30 billion company versus a $30 million company versus a $30,000 company. When the fight is on, the $30,000 company will probably disappear. Probably can't even afford the lawyer fees, right? The $30 million company, it may try to fight to hang on. The $30 billion company, just off of size alone, the $30 billion company has a better chance of surviving through hard times. Let's just say with Coca-Cola, everybody just woke up tomorrow and stopped drinking, you know, stopped drinking Coca-Cola products. Everybody stopped drinking Coca-Cola and we're all, I don't know, eating Lip Chap or something, right? Coca-Cola is experiencing a hard time. Coca-Cola is so big that it will figure out something. It will buy the Lip, it can buy the Lip Chap company. It can figure out something or whatever that went along with Coca-Cola, right? So I'm just hypothetically speaking, when a company is large, it has a bigger reason and it fights even harder, right? Let's say if you was getting sued, let's say if somebody told me today, said, Prince, I'm going to sue you for the Investor Show mug or whatnot. I'm going to be like, man, you know what? I ain't sold but five of them. I ain't worried about it. I'll stop using it, right? But if I've sold 5,000 of these cups, 50,000 of these cups, 50 million of these cups, the more cups have I sold, the more I'm going to fight, right, when somebody comes at me. So Uber, they're going to fight just for their size alone. And then the royalty fees. Yes, I don't know how the structure will look, Karen, but I've heard they're talking about, huh, oh, you know what? You're not going to be a worker of Uber in California. You're going to be an Uber franchise owner. Maybe you own a bunch of cars and maybe you use the intellectual property from the app. I don't know how that will look, like how the fee structure will look. But I'm pretty sure right now Uber is plotting on if they cannot win this vote come November. LK Raw, what happened to the Bulls? I'm still here, licking my wounds. I will be back next week getting more and more option calls. Yes, a lot of the Bulls, everybody, the Bull who betted on the market going up, everybody just kind of disbanded and said, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm running away now. Yeah, you know what? The world is coming to an end. You know what? The pandemic is slowing everything down. What happened financially? What happened to the fundamentals? Vaccinations will mess up airlines. That's why I'm glad I sold. A lot of people not taking the vaccinations. What I think, you know, just the talks of the vaccination, of vaccination being available, will send the market into a bull run. If they came out Monday and said, we got a vaccination, yes, I'm not going to be the first one in line trying to take a vaccination, because then you already know they're going to have side effects. If I take the vaccination, now they're going to be like, oh, you know what? We didn't know they turned into a zombie, right? Like a movie almost. But when a vaccination, that is a bullish signal, because this looks like more things will open up. And he said that a lot of people won't be taking the vaccinations. I don't think people will take it right away, but over time, as it's almost going to be like a flu shot. Over time, people become more used to it and things like that. And just the notion that there's a vaccination out there will build investors' confidence in a bullish market. If you own, for example, 30 shares, and let's say Apple, can you also have calls on them too? Is that double dipping allowed? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You can own Apple shares and buy call options. Yes, you can, Ms. Beverly. I know you. I think you were one that said, Ms. Beverly, that owned a bunch of Tesla and Apple, like a couple hundred shares. And you may be like, wow, look at my portfolio taking a beating right now. You can turn around and buy call options. Or you can buy a call option that's more expensive. The most conservative and smartest thing to do is to buy additional shares while Apple is down now. Bad jobs on Thursday and technicals. All right, let's take a look at the jobs report, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a look at real estate first. All righty, we're going to go over here to one of my favorite sites you always see. I'm on the Mortgage and Bankers Association.org. This is an organization that goes out and does research on the real estate industry. So the first thing we're going to do, these are reports they put out. Let's look at the latest one they put out. All right. The Independent Mortgage Bankers and Mortgage the smaller companies up under the bigger companies of chartered banks reported a net gain of $45,000 on each loan they originated in the second quarter, up from the reported gain of $1,600 per loan in the first quarter, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, newly released quarterly mortgage bankers, right? Fueled by the surge of borrowers, because, you know, a lot of people have been buying homes, including myself. Fueled by the surge in borrowing demand and record low mortgages, mortgage production profits in the second quarter reached a highest level since the inception of the NBA report in 2008. This is what the vice president said of the NBA. Production volume averaged over $1 billion per company, and they were ideal combination of higher revenues and lower costs. Revenues climbed 57 base points from the first quarter, while expenses improved by $844 per loan. Productivity also increased, reaching higher levels. So pretty much this is what they're saying, that, hey, the people that loaned out these mortgages, when you buy a mortgage, there's nothing but a big loan. And these are the people that lend out the mortgages. And they're saying that we are having a return on investment pretty much from loaning the mortgages. Why this is important? Because if the economy was doing so bad, one of the first things you will see is people will stop having the ability to pay their mortgages. Now, when it comes down to me, the last bill I'm going to not pay is my mortgage. I'll probably stop paying homeowners insurance, property tax, car notes, everything. The first bill I'm going to pay every month will be my mortgage, hands down. So I want to pay close attention because I want to see, are we seeing mortgage delinquencies? How the mortgage, are people becoming delinquent on their mortgage? Are we seeing mortgage foreclosures? You know, are people foreclosing on homes? Are people delinquent on mortgages? Also, are people filing for forbearances? Forbearances is the ability, is part of the stimulus package that stops people from being moved out of their homes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not something that Prentice Dykes is filling. I'm looking at the reports and the report. What are the reports saying? What is the economical data saying? Not what I heard somebody say. What is the economical data saying? And right now, they're saying from the second quarter, the mortgage they gave out, the company's saying they made a return on investment, which is giving me further indication that people, in order for a mortgage, order for a loan person to be able to make money, that means somebody has to be paying back the mortgage. So that's a good sign that I like to see. Now let's go on and look at the other one. This is coming from the Mortgage and Bankers Association.org. All right. Now here we go here. This is another report they put out on September 2nd, which was 2 days ago. The mortgage application decreased, right, in the latest weekly survey. So here we go right here. Both conventional and government refinancing activity decreased last week, despite the 30-year fixed and 15-year fixed mortgage rates declining near historical lows. They're essentially saying that we are at historically low loans, interest rates on mortgages, and people are not refinancing. They're seeing, not people are not, but they're seeing a decline. They would think that the low mortgage rates would have more people refinancing. So they got mortgage rates have remained below 3.5% for 5 months now, and it's possible refinancing demand may be slowing and will significantly increase again without another noticeable drop in rates. Okay, this is what Joel Kane, he's an NBA associate vice president. Purchase applications were essentially unchanged over the week. So purchase application, they keep track of how many people are applying for new loans, for home loans. So they said that was unchanged. 20% higher a year ago and 15 weeks straight year over increase. Lenders are reporting that strong demand for home buying is coming from delayed activity from the spring. Okay. They're saying a lot of people wanted to buy homes in the spring. They couldn't buy the homes in the spring. So you have this pent up demand that people now are rushing in and buying their houses, as well as households seeking more space in less densely populated areas. Okay. All right, the refinance. So people are not refinancing as much. This, they're tracking. They're saying mortgage applications decreased by 2% from 1%. So this week, not as many people refinance their mortgages that they saw in the past, even though we're at record historical low interest rates. So that's a concern. That could be a kind of a sign. That's something I keep my eye on. Why people are not refinancing? Usually, if you're refinancing, you're going to get a lower mortgage rate, but people may not be refinancing because their credit may not be good. Maybe they just didn't get a time around for it. I don't know. But once you refinance, usually you're stuck for that rate for maybe 6 months in most cases. I know that's true for VA loans, right? Once you refinance, if you refinance in the spring, you can't refinance again, you know, 2 months later. You got to wait 6 months or whatever, right? For VA loans. So that's what we're looking at with real estate. Y'all let me know what you think. Let me look at some of you guys and girls' comments here. That's real estate. Next up, we're going to look into unemployment. We had new unemployment numbers come out. Let's see what they're looking like. But before we do that, let me see what you guys and girls have to say. You should always have, Kobe is saying, I think that's how you say it. You should always have your stop loss order set. My stop losses were triggered at the beginning of the sell-off. Then I was able to pick those up at the bottom. Okay, your stop loss was your stop loss there to save profits. And a stop loss, ladies and gentlemen, it does exactly what it's saying. It's a stop loss. So let's say if you own Apple and you bought Apple for $125 and it's going up $5 and you're like, wow, I'm doing very great. I brought it for $125. It's now trading for $135. I'm doing great. So guess what you start to do? You said, well, what if the market takes a turnaround and crashes? So what you could do, you can put in a stop loss by a dollar amount. You can say, if Apple drops by $2, sell. You can always say, if Apple goes up by $50, you know, or if Apple drops by 1%, sell. You can set it by percentage or a dollar sign. You're stopping the loss you can do. So you can go in and say, hey, guess what? It hit my stop loss. The stock sold. I was able to keep some of my profits, and I can jump back in at a later price. That's exactly what he's saying here in the statement. That's how I come positive over the last 2 days. Nice. Congratulations. Ms. Jacqueline said, learn the fundamentals and the watch list. That's true. Learn the fundamentals, add to your watch list. Learn the fundamentals, add to your watch list, ladies and gentlemen. You know, because so many people, you can formally educate yourself or you can informally educate yourself. There are great books out there. I have a few that teach you how to read financial reports. As an investor, you should be reading financial reports. Financial reports is the way, which is the 10Q report and 10K report. Financial reports are the way that businesses talk. Karen said, are you a day trader? No, I'm not a day trader. DJ Mick says, thanks, Prince. I'm riding with Uber. What's the deal with the rap technology? With so many cop killing blacks, I think it should jump off fast. Rap technology, I think that is probably like the camera you're seeing. Let's see what we're looking at. Oh, rap technology stock. I don't even know what this is. Take a look at it. I'm taking a look at rap technology. Let's just look at the company's profile. Okay. No data. Oh, that's weird. We'll come back to that. Let me give that some time to load. I can't say your name here. Usa, hey, do you believe we will repeat a March? U.S. GDP is a negative 30. China GDP is a plus 10. GDP is our gross domestic product. Do I think, I don't know, 1 second here. Do I think China will repeat? Do I think we will have a repeat of March? I think March was the worst. I thought March was going to get even worse. But now with the vaccination probably coming along, we're going into the spending season, the holiday season. We're going to take a look at unemployment. Do I think we're going to get worse? I can't really say, but if I had to choose a side, I would say no. Our gross domestic product is a negative, but that was to be expected. Everybody knew our gross domestic product. We knew that was going to have a declining GDP. The gross domestic product is how much we make and sell in the country. How much we make and sell, that's telling how well your economy is doing. You know, China gross domestic product is up because guess what? Americans are buying. China is the maker. The U.S. is the buyer. China is only making because somebody else is buying. You got to think about America. As we ship more and more stuff overseas, our gross domestic product is slowly falling. China is going up. Why do you think their gross domestic product is going up? I believe a lot of it has to do with who's the biggest consumer in the world? America. We're over here buying stuff. Yeah, a lot of comments coming today. She said, real estate versus tech. I would take tech myself. I would take tech over real estate too. Miss Karen. Epic Gamer 007 dog. I brought AMD at 82 instead of 76. It's no problem. You're buying value. Buy again. Crypto. I would, but crypto. I don't know. I don't see buy crypto. I think crypto is doing pretty good too. Karen, I like AMD. Yes, those are the video game, the card makers. I don't own any of them, but I know they had an amazing last 5 years. Definitely. Look at somebody. Somebody told me operating. You're right. Thank you for reminding me. I think, are you from Concord, North Carolina? I think she won something on the show one time. Ms. Jacqueline Eater, she said, I'm great and thanks. Cool, cool. Bitcoin success. When is the next S&P 500 announcement? Tesla was not added. They could be added at any time. You know, I don't know when that next one's going to be that I know of. I don't see quarterly reports come from S&P 500. They kind of just put their reports out there that I know of. So I don't know. I can't say. DJ Dick says, PM, thanks for your advice on picking up Uber. We're riding, bro. They said they're riding with Uber. You're right, NBA.org, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are other sites out there, too. I read those, too. NBA.org is not the only one for real estate, but I love to read other people who are collecting data and reporting economical indicators. Cade says, hi, Prince. Thanks for the videos and guidance. I'm new to trading. I'm learning a lot from your videos. Cade, thanks, man. That sounds awesome. Thank you. All right. Michael says, one day, I hope I can buy a cup of green tea. I appreciate what you do for the community. A cup of green tea. No, you need to get on that lemonade. You got a cup of lemonade over there, Mike. I'm still watching that lemonade. Karen says, thank you, Prince. LK Raw. I don't look at fundamentals often because I only look at the top companies to purchase or to buy options in. If I buy anything other than, I know that I'm taking a risk and accept it before purchase. That could be a way to look at it. But sometimes you can find companies that have great, strong finances, but they might be small. So you may have a company like, I'm trying to think of somebody, but it's some sectors where a company can have great, strong finances and be profitable, but they're just very small. And they may have a lower cash burn than a bigger company, right? So sometimes I like to look at it and say, I like to look at smaller companies too, but a safe way to do it is to get the big boys. Darrell, what's going on? He said, Darrell says, Darrell J checking in. I did buy a share of Tesla today. Okay, nice, nice. Steven, a lot of people are not refinancing because they are charging new refinancing fee. Oh. Oh, okay. That's a good one. I didn't know about the refinance fee that they was out there charging. That would defer people from, doing it as well. He said the refinancing fee adds $500,000 to $100,000 in refinance. Yeah, you're right. That'll stop me from refinancing too. That'll slow me down as well. All right. Now let's look at unemployment. How's employment looking, ladies and gentlemen? How can you find how employment is looking? Ladies and gentlemen, if you saw the episode I did last week, I did an episode. I'll give me 1 second here. We're going to pull up. Ooh, here we go. Here. Boom. Right here. Right here. Ladies and gentlemen. I'll give me 1 second. We're looking at the Bureau of. Right now, we're looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We're going to go through employment. Numbers are released. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is the one that we look at to see what's going on with the unemployment. So most people say unemployment is this, unemployment is that. They track unemployment. They put out new unemployment numbers. So we're going to take a look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all give me 1 second as I bring this up. This is live. Turn this on real quick. predictions on that. All right, unemployment. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have right here pulled up in front of us. Did I pull up the right one? All right, make sure I got the right one. Y'all looking at the right one? Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the employment situation summary. This was released today, Friday morning, right here. You can see this came from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 8:30 a.m. Friday, September 4th. Ladies and gentlemen, the employment situation for August, right here, the total non-farm payroll rose by 1.4 million people that are on payroll. That's why they want to get Uber on payroll, right? And the unemployment rate fell to 8.4%. Here we go. Total non-farm payroll employment rose by 1.4% and unemployment fell to 8.4%. So we've seen a downtick in unemployment. We are seeing people, they're not refinancing, but housing mortgages, we're seeing people still making their mortgage payment. We've seen unemployment go down. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported today. These improvements in the labor market reflected the continuing resumption of the economical activity that has been curtailed due to the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it. In August, an increase in government employment largely reflected temporary hiring from the 2020 census. So, all right, now here's a big thing. They just said in August, an increase in government employment largely reflected temporary hiring for unemployment for the 2020 census. So the government hired a lot of people to conduct the census that could be given false unemployment numbers. Notable job gain is also occurred in retail trade and professional and business services and luxuries and hospitals and education and healthcare. So we seeing that leisure and hospital and education and health services. Okay. Retail trade, places like E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, trading houses are making a lot of money. You know what? Here we go. I'm going to give y'all a secret. So we're looking at unemployment. We've seen that it dropped down a little bit, but these numbers could be a little bit false due to the census hiring. People got hired temporarily for the census, and they're probably going to lose their job. Well, it was temporary, so they didn't lose their job. They're probably going to lose their temporary job in the next month or two. They just got hired on to do the census, so we got to pay attention to that. These unemployment, that downtick, it could be just due to that. Now, here's a secret, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all ready for it? I'm going to take y'all something I learned the hard way. Let me give y'all a little secret here. Y'all ready? I got to gather around. Y'all ready for the secret here? Here we go. Pay attention to this. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, I want y'all to pay attention to this line right here. The Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm sorry, I'm sharing the wrong screen. I'm going to pull it back up. Y'all give me 1 second, bear with me. I'm going to pull back up the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what they released today. And I released this the other day, but I know a lot of you guys and girls don't like to read, and I love to pull up data here. All right. Notable job gains also occurred in retail trade. Notable job gains also occurred in retail trades. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to know, what is retail? I'm going to ask y'all a question. What is retail trade? If you don't know, look it up. Notable job gains came in retail trades, right? I want you guys to pay attention to something. When people buy and sell stocks, when you're seeing this massive sell-off, this massive gains, who benefits? Who benefits when everybody buy and sell? When everybody buy a bunch and sell a bunch all at one time? Broker houses and retail traders benefit. Places like TD Ameritrade, places like E-Trade, places like Goldman Sachs, their trading floors. Notice Berkshire just purchased a bunch of trading retail traders out in Japan. Retail trading will start to uptick, ladies and gentlemen. That's an indicator. When in March, I noticed this in March. You know, we had the largest sell-off. We had a big V-shape come March, April timeframe. When the earnings, when the second quarter earnings report came out, I saw what Goldman Sachs, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, they made all this money because everybody was opening up E-Trade accounts, TD Ameritrade accounts. Everybody was buying and selling, selling and buying, and people sitting at home with their Robinhood app. All these people, retail brokers, retail traders, started to win. That's what I'm hearing in the underline. I'm looking at in the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We had a lot of noticeable gain. Follow the jobs, ladies and gentlemen. Follow the jobs. Here's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. Also, the Bureau of Labor Statistics put out, I want to say about a week ago, they put out this chart here. The 10 fastest growing occupations within the next decade. This is a news release. This was released on September 1st, on Monday, on Tuesday. The fastest growing jobs in the next 10 years. Number one, wind turbine services. Number two, nurse practitioner, solar panel. If you watch my other episode, 80% of these jobs in the next 10 years is healthcare, nurse practitioner, occupational therapist, home health and personal care aide, physical therapist, medical and health service managers, physician assistant. 80% of the fastest growing jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is in healthcare. So you got to follow the jobs, ladies and gentlemen. Follow the jobs. What are the jobs saying? When I'm looking at all these jobs created in retail, when I'm looking at all these people buying and selling stocks, when you see these massive sell-off of stocks and these massive buybacks of stock, all this volatility, somebody is buying and selling. When you buy and sell, brokers make money. Oh, Michael said he's going to buy me some green tea to say thank you. I will never escape the lemonade. No, you're never going to escape the lemonade. You're going to be Mr. Lemonade out there in Canada drinking lemonade. He's going to buy me some green tea. Appreciate that, man. Thanks. Said, Prince, have you started studying crypto? I am paying attention to crypto. I've always been paying attention to crypto within the 4 or 5 years. I always keep an eye on it. I'm just watching it. I'm just watching it, right? John said, I love data. Yes, you get so many financial people. They get on, they read from Yahoo Finance, they read from CNBC, they go off their feelings, which is not bad. They go off their feelings, they go off of what they heard, what they feel around their local economy. Read economical data. Ladies and gentlemen, read the economical data. I have to have data to back up what I feel. I may feel something, but I look at data to solidify that. That's my opinion. Yvonne, what do you think about Raytheon? I can look into Raytheon. I know they're a good company. I've heard they've been going through some big times, bad times, right? Yvonne, aren't you out of New York City? I think she said she's out of New York City. The big money. The big money is moving back and forth, ladies and gentlemen. The platforms, you got it right, Petey Young. Institutions, John, you got it right. BLS.gov, yes, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics.gov. What do you think about REITs? I'm glad you did DM me and you did ask me. I apologize. I haven't been able to get back to you on what I felt about REITs, but I'm glad you're tuning in so you can get my opinion and I don't have to type it. So my thing on REITs, I definitely, when you guys and girls DM me, I definitely try to get back to people DMs, but I do get a lot of DMs on Facebook and Instagram and emails, and I have to have time to see what you're saying and reply back to it. So sometimes it may take some time. So what we're looking at, what I think about REITs, real estate investment trusts, really REITs are real estate investment trusts. What I like about REITs, it's a way to invest in the real estate via the stock market. What I don't like, so what the benefit is, I can invest, I can get a portion of a REIT. A REIT pretty much, they own leases, you know, things like Domino's Pizza. Think about Domino's Pizza all over the place. They pay rent. They lease the building and they probably pay it to a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust. It goes out, buys a bunch of buildings. A lot of them, you have commercial REITs. You have residential REITs. They buy real estate, right? You even have some land ones, if I'm not mistaken. What they do, they buy a bunch of land and then they rent it out to a Domino's. They rent it out to a Burger King. They may rent it out to a McDonald's. And a purchase this may buy a lease from Walmart, Home Depot. Great idea, right? And for a stock, I can buy a REIT just like buying a stock and get a piece of real estate. Sounds great. The thing about it is what I don't like. This is the disadvantage of the REITs. I don't like how REITs track the stock market. When you look at real estate, like you look at single family homes, you see they're holding their value and they're actually going up, right? Real estate doesn't move as fast as the stock market. Real estate, it takes time for something to get to real estate. For us to see downturn in real estate, people need to lose their jobs. People have to empty out their savings. People got to stop paying their mortgage. People got to be unemployed. Then homes may start to go into foreclosure. It may take a year on real estate versus a REIT. You see all these REITs just start jumping down. I don't like that. I don't like my real estate to track the stock market. I like it to be a little separate, right? So that's one of the downsides I don't like about REITs. I don't like the way it's following the stock market. The other downside is I don't think the world is going to go back to the way it used to be. I think some things are never going to come back. I think that people are noticing. When you look at people who are, I've been in here over an hour. Goodness gracious. Okay. But people who invest in the REITs, when you look at a real estate investment trust, a big company like Facebook, everybody's working at home virtually. You notice they did a study and they said that production has increased with people working at home. People do more work working at home than they was working at the office. Why is that? First, to get up and get to work, if you got to be to work by 7, at a bare minimum, you got to be up an hour early. You got to get up, you got to get yourself dressed, you got to take a shower, you got to wash your face, take care of your hygiene, put on some clothes, and then you have to commute to work. Then when you get to work, it don't matter if you work fast or slow, majority of people are going to be there for 8 hours or whatever your shift is. So when people know they're going to be there all day, people do less. Versus when people are training at home virtually, people are saying, hey, look, you know what? Today, Prince, you need to get this done, this done, this done. I get all that stuff done in 2-3 hours. So when people work virtually, they're getting more work done. So what companies are realizing, they're saying, you know what? If I'm getting more work done with people staying at home, why do I need to buy this big building? Take me, for example, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I'm in my basement. I have one room where I shoot videos and content. Then I have another room, which is my office. And then, you know, I have a little lounge and a bathroom and things like that, right? But my thing, why am I bringing this up, is that I plan on, oh, y'all give me 1 second. This is my dad. Hey, Dad.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm recording right now, Dad. Can I give you a call back?
You got to get your ass call to see how you was doing. I'm fine. And congratulations on your new degree. But anyway, you have fun. I'm 35 and doing great.
All right.
I can call everyone tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. I got you on live. Tell everybody, hey.
Good luck.
I said, tell it. Can you hear me, Daddy?
Yeah.
Tell everybody, hey.
Hello to everybody.
All right, did I give you a call
Hello
back?
Everybody.
Okay. I'll give you a call back, okay?
I didn't know.
All right. Bye. That's my pops. That's my dad. He's 74 years old. My mom passed away 6 or 7 years ago. So I'm glad to have my dad, call me. So I always answer his phone. So, you know, I always tell my dad, hey. So anyway, great dad, by the way. And the thing is, when you look at a REIT, so I say all of that, Prince, why are you saying this? People are doing more work. People are more productive from home. So now companies are considering, why do I want to, why do I want to go back to my office? Why do I want to rent this? Take me, for example. I plan on working out of my basement until I can't no more. Till I just literally cannot work out of my basement no more. So a lot of companies are looking at, my buddy, my right-hand man, he's in Washington, D.C. We work online. Why do people want to go back to an office? You know? So that's what we call things. That's how I look at the world of investing. So when we look at REITs and real estate investment trusts, that's one of my concerns on the commercial side. Now, they do have some homes there. That's great. But I don't like how the REITs, they're so sensitive to market movements. Stock market crash, so does the REITs. Even though real estate is not crashing, REITs crash immediately. I don't like that sensitivity to the market. That's one of my disadvantages. Because I already got stocks going down. I don't need my REITs to go down at the same time. That's one of my disadvantages of REITs. But I do like the concept of owning a piece of real estate via the stock market, and it's very easy to do. Hope that makes sense for you. All right, let's see what else are y'all saying in this comments. Yvonne, I got it wrong. You're out of, she said, by the way, is Yvonne from Minneapolis. Okay, long time. Yes, I haven't seen you in a while. My bad. I thought you was out of New York, but I'm glad that you're tuning on. Ebony Love says, I'm new to investing, want to learn more about options. Heard it can be a great multiplier, but still need more understanding. Very true. Options are very risky. I would tell you, Miss Ebony, yes, you can make money, but it's just like on a crap table. You can make a lot of money on a crap table via one roll, but it also means you can lose a lot of money via one roll. If you're new to investing, I will first understand the underlying. Options move off of stocks. The way stocks move is what caused the option to move. So first, as a new beginner, I will first start investing with the index first, get your feet warm with the index, then I will move to individual stocks before I move into something risky. And Ms. Ebony Love, a lot of companies won't allow you to trade options unless you are an experienced investor. So I would first get your feet warm while you're learning. And then if you wanted to learn a little bit more while you're learning, go get a virtual trading account. Go get a fake trading account, right? She said, yes, I did. Oh, she's talking about when she wrote me. She said, yes, I know you're busy. I'm patient. Thank you. And I hope I answered your question that you DM me. I purchased WEYL because of the Motley Fool. Hopefully I'm not fooled because WDC and thinking of a rocket next week. Motley Fool, those are good, great people over there. I had lunch with them before. You know, I do follow the Motley Fool. They do say some good stuff sometimes. I don't know enough about that stock to comment. Michael said, Ebony, there are a lot of great videos on YouTube that would explain it to you. Thanks, Michael, for looking out for her. B says, I've been buying CLM close-end fund for 20% dividend a month. Wow. CLM, okay. What type of dividend is that? She says, it's a process. It's not fast. Yeah, I agree. What's going on, Amir? He said facts. Yes, that's true. LK Raw, I don't know about that, Prince. When I went home for work, I did not do any more. I tried to do less. They have tried to put more work on me, but nope, I rejected. Well, you're just being stubborn, LK Raw. It's usually when you get, because when you're at home, it's production-based. When you're at work, it's time-based. When you're at home, you're told do 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the week. Versus when you're at home, when you're at work, you're going to be there for 8 hours anyway. So when people know they're going to be there for 8 hours, they go to the bathroom, they take their lunch break, they take all their smoke breaks. They, you know, usually we're speaking on average, right? That's what most people do. But sometimes, if I know exactly what I got to do and be done for the week, it'll be done probably by Tuesday. And I probably had the rest of the week off. So I said, hey, Prince Daddy. Yeah, that was my dad. Mike said, what a sweet phone call. Your pops calling you to say congrats. Yeah, man, that's my, people watch me. This is crazy. My dad doesn't use social media. So people watch me on social media and then they go tell my dad. Because, you know, he's 74 years old. He don't watch social media and stuff like that. And I don't get to tell him about every little thing I'm doing. But it's like people would watch me write something or show something, they're showing my videos or he might be at the post office. They'd be like, oh yeah, Prince did this. And they'll show him. He'd be like, oh wow, I gotta call him and tell him congrats. Kind of crazy how that works. So he follows me on social media via other people. Other people keep him up to date on what I'm doing. He said, how nice, Prince, you still say daddy. Yeah, I still call my dad daddy, you know. It's kind of crazy. Hey, daddy, you know, I'm a grown man, 35 years old. He said, Prince, you're the man. Love your pops, too. Solid video. Thanks, Steve-O. Appreciate it. Okay. Exactly. FRL is the best REIT ETF you can buy. Okay, I do like REIT ETFs you can buy. Only 0.8 expense ratio, very important. 5% dividend, all industrial and business real estate. Ooh, business. I don't know about business real estate. Industrial, we got to have industrial. Cell phone tower, real estate, logistic data centers. Okay, sounds pretty good. You say, yes, it does, Prince. Thank you. I wasn't sure how closely they follow the stock market. Yes, when I see it, I don't like that sensitivity to the market. You know, when the market goes down, so do the REITs. That's why I wasn't a big fan of gold this year. Gold was, market goes down, gold goes down. Market goes up, gold goes up. Okay, Raw, on top of the average person doing more work because they're at home, these huge companies are saving millions on not having us in the office. By the way, I'm working at home now. Do less, not more. Yes, the companies are saving millions from real estate. Now, if you're a new company, you're coming in, you're saying, why do I need to go get this big office space? I can work from home. I can Zoom. People are now, look at Zoom stock. Zoom stock just went crazy, 47% up. I knew that Zoom stock, I wish I would have played it, but Zoom stock, the indicator for Zoom stock, if y'all remember on my live, I said Apple gave an indication for Zoom. When you watch Apple earnings, Apple said our earnings, they knocked out their last earnings due to people purchasing more stocks. I mean, people purchasing more from the App Store. They said by people being at home more, people purchasing more from the App Store to work from home. And I knew that was a code word for Zoom. So Zoom just went crazy, went up 47% as the demand for Zoom continues to grow. I thought the demand for Zoom in the fall would die off, but as the coronavirus pandemic kind of keeps going, Zoom continues to Zoom. Congratulations, Zoom. Zoom is worth more than the airlines. Freddie B, he said he just came in. Thanks for checking in, Freddie B. Ebony Love says thank you. Thank you, Miss Ebony. Oh, said corrections, F-L-R-E-E. Okay. She's giving up the stock symbol. Prince, what do you think about home security stocks like ADT and Smart Home? Why do you think they're not blowing up like they should be right now? Why would you think home security? You think people are buying more home security now? Amazon brought the Ring app. That's a big one that I see everyone talk about, right? That's home security I have. So why would you think we would see an uptick? Okay, he says, very informative content. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for having me on your show as well. He's LK Ross said, my last comment tonight, I started out trading ETFs. My first year was brutal. It seemed like a seasoned vet trading now. He said, it seemed like a seasoned vet. Made 12K in the past 3 months, trying to beat the next three, starting slow. But you say you're going to be a bull. I think we're going to end up on a bull, LK Ross. The bull has been raging for the last couple of months, and it's just taking a breather. That's what I believe. Nothing crazy. Any good cloud stocks? CrowdStrike, CRWD, Cybersecurity Cloud. I like that one. CrowdStrike. I've been working from home since 2014, and I thought, you said, and I thought I wanted to go back into the office, but nah, I get way more done at home. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. I usually shoot this show downtown. I would go downtown Denver to shoot the show, and I will tell you. Let's say if I had to do an interview at 6 p.m. at night, I would have to leave my house. I would have to start getting ready around 4:30, take a shower, all that good stuff like that. I'd probably leave the house around 5:15. That'll get me into the studio about 5:45. Then I got to go through pre-production. pre-production is when they put the lights and the cameras and make sure the light is working. They got to microphone me up, microphone my guest up. They got to get all the background set up. That's pre-production. Talk about what we're going to talk about, go over the questions, make the guests feel comfortable. It's always good to have a rapport. If you never met the person before, it's always good to have a rapport versus interviewing. That's something I learned. When I interview somebody I never talked to before, it's always very hard because I don't know what's the good and the bad, right? So when you do, once that's done, let's say if I do a 30-minute episode, now that may take me to 6:30, right? 6:30-ish. Now, once that's done, now you're going to do, now we got to do post-production. We got to turn all the cameras and the lights off. We got to put all the stuff on the drive. I got to shake the person's hands. Then I have to drive back home. I may get home 7, maybe 7:30, maybe almost 8 o'clock at night. Ladies and gentlemen, that was 4 hours just to do a 30-minute episode. Now, I can go in. I can come down here within my basement and cut that time by 75% if I shoot at home. So I love shooting at home. I don't know how y'all feel about the content. I know Zoom is not as good as in person, but I definitely like shooting at home versus shooting in the studio. And then when I have to be on someone's show, I like logging in, doing the show, and I'm off. I'm back to doing what I've been doing. Nice dividend at a low price right now. Price not inflated like most stock markets. CLM, 20%. Ooh. 20% ET, 19% ACP, 14% NLY, 12% pretty stable long terms. I don't know any of all this comes off the top of my head. He said he sold all his airlines. Airlines will be back. It's going to take a little while. Once the vaccination get to going, we're going to be flying again. Once people start back to flying, airlines will be back. Just maybe not right now today, but they'll be back. I think tech will be the big hand, the hot hand for the rest of the season. Then airlines will probably be about next summer. Counterproductive, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, why did we see that big dive today? What drove the market? The NASDAQ, majority of the market, Apple and Tesla. Wherever Apple and Tesla goes, the NASDAQ goes. So when you're looking at betting on the future, the most riskiest thing you can do is buy a call on the NASDAQ. A bullish call, a bullish ETF on the NASDAQ, which is TQQQ, a call on that is the riskiest, well, not the riskiest. The riskiest thing you can do is buy individual stock, buying Tesla and Apple by themselves. That's the riskiest. The next conservative thing you can do is to buy QQQ, which is the NASDAQ. The next risky thing above that is to buy a call on QQQ. The next riskier thing above that, well, before that one is TQQ, a bullish. After QQQ, the next riskiest thing is a leveraged bullish ETF, which is TQQQ. Now, the next bullish thing you can do is to buy a call option on QQQ. And the highest bullish thing you can do is buy a call option on TQQQ. Call options are the most riskiest things because you have an expiration date. You can be right, but if your timing is wrong, it can be very bad for you, right? TQQ, you can hold it forever. But if the stock market continues to crash, TQQ is going to fall even faster, right? So that's the level of conservative all the way, well, riskiest to what I messed that up, ladies and gentlemen, because I just said the most riskiest. I started from the most riskiest things, then went. So the most riskiest thing you can do is a call option. After the call option is buying individual stocks. After buying individual stocks is an index, and that's pretty much it. Because Apple, the likelihood of Apple going down versus the whole index going down, Apple has a greater risk than the whole index, right? Those are the different risks you can take. She said, I love Zoom. I think she meant Zoom. I love it. It's more convenient. Yes, more people are working at home, ladies and gentlemen. But ladies and gentlemen, I have been over here for an hour and 20 minutes. And I say what's driving the market right now, what's driving the NASDAQ is Tesla and Apple. They weigh so much into the NASDAQ. When Tesla and Apple combine, go down, the whole NASDAQ go down. When Tesla and Apple does well, when they rebound, the entire NASDAQ will rebound. Those are the ways you can invest into it, ladies and gentlemen. I just spoke about QQQ. SQQQ. Oh, that's the bear side. You can jump on SQQQ, but it's very risky because we know in the long term, stocks will go up more than they go down. When they go down, they drop fast. When they go up slow. So right now, I don't know. Come Monday, we could just zoom back up. So to buy SQQ is more riskier. That's on the short side. That's betting against the NASDAQ. That's more riskier than going on the upside. If I can just hold TQQ for the next 5-10 years, I probably would be correct. Versus the person who holds the SQQ, the bear will win the battle. The bear will win the short term, but the bull will win the war. The long-term person will always win over the short-term person. Do not become short-sighted. Now, granted, do I jump in here and try to make some money off of some short-sighted things? Yes. But always keep the core of your portfolio long-term, ladies and gentlemen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I thank you guys and girls for tuning in. We have people tuning in all across the world. I've been here over an hour, almost an hour and 30 minutes just talking. When people hear me or when my son see me, he thinks I'm crazy. He's like, what my daddy just, who is he talking to? But I want to thank you guys. Wesley right now, he's with his grandparents. That's why he has not been interrupting me on my show like you guys who've been watching me for a while have seen. But I definitely love and I miss him. Can't wait till he gets back. And so I can talk to him some more about investing and all the other great stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. I hope y'all got something out of it. As always, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit the comment button. Tell me what you thought and subscribe to us on the podcast. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all of the great stuff like that. I want to thank you guys and girls. I'm going to give my dad a call back here shortly. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace. Be safe. I'm out. And thank you.